Blog Talk Radio.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, as it goes, every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, yeah. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, Jesus, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you.
amado, agradecemos por este programa, por esta oportunidade de estarmos mais uma vez juntos, Senhor, para te servir, para te adorar. Intercedemos, Senhor, para que todos os teus filhos que estejam ouvindo este programa, que venham a ouvir mais tarde, recebam a bênção que tu programaste para esta noite. Que todos nós sejamos alimentados pelo teu Espírito e tudo aquilo que for falado aqui, Pai, contribua, Senhor, para o crescimento do teu povo, contribua para a salvação dessas vidas, Senhor, daquelas que ainda vais alcançar por intermédio delas. Te agradecemos por tudo aquilo que tu vais fazer, oramos pelos anos, Senhor, oramos por todas as vidas que separaram o tempo para estar connosco. Tu nos abençoes com o teu Espírito, com a tua graça, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amados, mais uma vez te agradecemos a todos a vossa presença. Sabemos que estamos sendo ouvidos um pouco por todo o lado. Meus irmãos, hoje temos um convidado muito especial, que já é frequente, o irmão Zé Garcia, que nos vai trazer daquilo que ele durante mais de 20 anos investigou, as fontes que buscou e aquilo que encontrou nos chamados Targums. São fontes que nos falam da Bíblia. São interpretações que foram deixadas por antigos irmãos nossos na fé, no mesmo Deus, que quando saíram do exílio de Babilónia, uma vez que tinham esquecido, tinham perdido a fala do original hebraico, foi necessário alguém interpretar as escrituras para essas pessoas. E os Targums começaram por ser interpretações orais, mas viraram, mais tarde, escritas. Essas escritas foram preservadas ao longo do tempo. E podem crer, irmãos, que trazem muita luz sobre aquilo que por vezes fica nevoado nas escrituras, naquelas escrituras que nos chegaram a nós. Sobretudo em matérias que o sistema religioso fez questão de nos impedir de alcançar. É sobre tudo isto que nós vamos falar com o irmão Zé Garcia. Ele passou mais de 20 anos procurando, investigando estas coisas, e ele vai estar aqui partilhando connosco mistérios que, através do aprofundar desses documentos, ele conseguiu alcançar aquilo que muitas vezes, numa primeira vista, a Bíblia parece que não nos transmite, mas nós iremos aprofundar essa questão. Os amados, eu irei falar também em inglês. Temos pessoas connosco que só falam em inglês, por isso, mais uma vez, peço a compreensão de todos. Deus abençoe e disponha destes momentos de louvor que nós vamos ter diante de Deus para se preparar para mais esta bênção que Deus tem para a nossa vida. Deus abençoe, em nome de Jesus. Amen. My friends, I welcome all once more. Thank you for your time. Today is a special program. We are going to talk about the Targums, because it's a mystery for a lot of people. Because the Targums are documents that were written by the Jewish people, as they felt the necessity to spread the ancient documents, because when they returned from Babylon, they no more were talking the Hebrew language, as they mixed with other people and start talking in Aramaic. So it was necessary someone to translate the ancient Hebrew to talk the word in Aramaic. And this material, our brother Zen Garcia, more than 20 years, he had discovered so much things important for us to know that will expand our understanding about the mysteries of the scriptures. Things like Cain and Abel, the true origins of the two seed lines. You will hear from his word, from his own mouth, what these documents have to say about this history. You will understand that our Bible, it's only a part of the real story. The system, the religious system that we have came, he tried to uncover the reality about the spiritual war that we are all engaged, about the two seed lines, about Cain and Abel not being generated by the same father, or contrary, like the system says, and so much other things. So it is a pleasure for me to have you all hearing this show, and all those that will hear after. We will have 10 minutes to worship God, and brother, then I will call you in around 10 minutes just to bring you to teach us, to talk about your work, and to lead us to investigate these mysteries. It's a pleasure for us to have you all here. Please, let's worship our God as he is worthy. And then in 10, 15 minutes, I will bring our brother. Stay blessed, my brothers and my sisters. Once more, thank you for your time.
Jacó, enquanto fugia do seu irmão Esaú, ao dormir, Elias no deserto, ele teve um sonho. E nesse sonho, nessa visão, ele viu os céus abertos, uma escada posta no céu. Os anjos subiam e desciam por essa escada. Então naquele momento ele disse: o Senhor está nesse lugar, e eu não sabia. O interessante é que Deus sempre fora o Deus de Jacó. Deus tinha uma aliança com Abraão, com Isaac, e também com Jacó e com toda a sua descendência. Mas Jacó ainda não tinha uma aliança com Deus. E naquele momento especial, particular, houve um toque. Jacó foi tocado pela glória do Senhor, pela maravilhosa visão de Deus. E a partir daquele dia, a sua vida nunca mais foi a mesma. Jacó então fez uma aliança com Deus. E isso é que fez a diferença na vida de Jacó. Deus tem uma aliança com você, mas você precisa fazer uma aliança com Deus. Você precisa sentir o poderoso toque do Todo-Poderoso em sua vida. E você precisa se aliançar com o toque da glória de Deus e viver mediante a fé neste toque, mediante a fé nessa experiência. Deus tem uma aliança com você e agora Ele espera por ti. Tua presença é real.
Cantando.
Amen. Glory to God. Glória a Deus. I think that we have Brother Zen online. Brother Zen, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, brother?
Doing well. I'm doing well. And yourself this evening?
I'm feeling good. So, my brother, how's the weather now over there in Georgia?
It's a little cool, and it's been a little rainy the past couple days, but we're supposed to get back up to 70 degrees this weekend, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. You got my money, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I have a chance to send them out possibly tomorrow, but if not, I'll put them in the mail Monday.
Okay, I can't wait to start reading your books. I want to inform to that Brother Zen has another book. He has published a Targum. It's available, I think it's on Amazon, right?
Yes, on lulu.com, but it will be available at Amazon as well.
Okay, brother, please leave the link on the chat room if you can. Brothers, and I think that the great part of the people here, at least the people in Brazil, in Portugal, they don't even know what is the Targum. So I think it would be good to try to explain to the people what are the Targums and what are the benefits that they can have if they reach to the point to that can read the Targums.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Targum just means translation. And what had happened is when the people were taken exile into Babylon for the time that Daniel and Daniel was there in Babylon, and for the 70 years when the prophet Jeremiah and all of them were taken into Babylon and assimilated into the culture. They were exiled there for the 70 years. The people forgot how to speak the original Hebrew language. And so because of that, they had to learn how to, the vernacular of the day was Aramaic. And so all of the people, the lay people, the common people, they had forgotten how to speak the regular language. And so them being assimilated into Babylon, they learned Aramaic and everybody forgot how to read the scholarly Hebrew and also how to speak the language. And so when they went to the synagogues, when the priests would read from the Torah, they could not understand what was being read. And so the priests, they assigned translators to translate the Hebrew Torah into what was the language of the day. The first Targum was Aramaic, called the Palestinian Targum. And so,
yes, that's the one you have published, right?
Right, that's the one that I published. And so this particular Targum is the, you know, the language in Aramaic. And then we have what is J.W. Etheridge. He translated the translated copy. And so he made an English version of the Aramaic translation of the Hebrew Torah. And so that's what I published.
All the Torah.
Yeah, the Aramaic translation of the Hebrew Torah is what I had published, his copy. And so that's what we have available to us now in that work. And so when people read this particular translated copy, they are given details on how the Hebrew Torah used to read so long ago. The original Hebrew Torah, when it was translated into Aramaic, and then the English translation of that, we are given details that we don't find readily available to us in the King James Version of the Bible. And so for people like myself that like to read the original, to look into what was the original language and how all that came about and what the language was way back in that day, this gives us detail. It gives us insight into what was being spoken of and what was going on during that time. So it's interesting to read it because you get further detail and greater insight into what the original Hebrew Torah said and what was written therein. And so for people like myself that like to go back and study, even though, you know, it's about as closest as we're going to get for comparison with the Hebrew Torah without being able to read it in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what
makes
it.
Some people say that. Sorry. Some people say that they start speaking the Aramaic language when they mix with the Assyrians, right?
With the Babylonians.
Like the Babylonians. So
yeah.
The people that was left on Israel, they start speaking, they maintain the Hebrew language, or they change too?
No, there was nobody left in Israel. All the people were exiled to Babylon. When the temple was burnt down, Solomon's temple, the original temple, when it was burnt down during the time of Jeremiah and Baruch, who was a scribe during that time, they were exiled. They were taken into Babylon for those 70 years. And Jeremiah also spoke about how they would be kept there for 70 years, and then Cyrus the Great, well, Darius and then Cyrus, his son, Darius put out the proclamation that the Hebrew people would be allowed to go back to Jerusalem, and they would be allowed to build up the temple again. And Cyrus, the Persian king, he funded that movement.
When they returned from Babylon, there were people there on their lines. I think it was the Assyrians or someone that the king of Babylon put there to work the land, I think. So, in my opinion, there was more than one language there, right?
Right, right. That's right. And that's why when you find the Targum translations, there are many different translations of depending on the vernacular of the different people and the different regions. There are different.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Jerusalem Targum, and the Targum of Onkelos. There's different Targums. There's like four or five different translations depending on region and language. And so, the one that I published is a compilation of two, and it's based on the work of J.W. Etheridge, who translated this Aramaic Targum into English in 1862. And so
let me just address this question, because I think it's important to people get the true insight of the Bible that we have today. It's another confirmation that we have has that we call a Bible. It's very, very different from the original. It's very different because it was translation after translation. And I never read that Targum that you have published, but I think that if we read the Bible and then we read this Targum, we will see like a completely change on so much details that it's almost a new story. I think that that's what we are going to find, right?
Yes. And what happens is that you are given greater detail on what was written and the things that were left out over the translations being translated and translated over many times. Because the King James Version, that's the 1611 translation, and then there were many, before that. And so, however, even though I consider the King James Version of the Bible to be absolutely inspired, and that they are definitely the Word of God because of the mathematical. There's a lot of things that are connected to, and Jonathan Gray, in his work, he verifies this and puts this out. But there are some mathematical special. I can't even tell, but there's like algorithms that are associated to the writing of the King James Version of the Bible, which makes it inspired, and you know that not any man could have done that, and that has to do with the division of sevens and the way different issues and topics were brought up within it, and also what is written and syllables and vowels and all kind of different things. I would, for people that want to know more about that, you can look to the work of Jonathan Gray in a book called The Forbidden Secret, which he brings out all of this information in great detail, and it's absolutely incredible that, you know, that is written into the King James Version of the Bible. And so I do consider it inspired. Mm-hmm. When you read the Targum, you get extra detail, and it makes the story almost new, as you were saying, because what we think reading within the Word, because you know how many people that study the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they read it over for years and years and years, most of them, even those that are teaching about the Bible in the different churches today, they don't understand about the bloodlines. They don't understand about preexistence and predestination and these kind of things. And they're in the Bible. You know, they're in just the regular canon of the Bible.
Yes, yes.
And so...
I think that all the conception of the Bible, even the King James Bible, it's nothing vulnerable of the, how can I say, the manipulation that the fallen angels and the entities, they try to hide themselves on this history. And even the King James Bible being inspired and it's faithful on his story, even so, she suffers from that problem, because the King James Bible comes from other translations, like the Vulgata, like the Septuaginta. So this is the real deal. The closest we are on the original font, that is the Hebrew language, the better we can see the manipulation and the effort that these entities made century after century to hide themselves on the scriptures, for not letting us know who really we are fighting. That is my perception. Do you agree?
I agree that, you know, certain things have been hidden, distortions have been brought up, things have been eradicated, disappeared, and that a lot of that was due to the fact that the fallen angels and the bloodline that serves them, the Cain bloodline, they are attempting to keep these kind of things away from us and preventing us from knowing such.
What we are going to try on this program to do is, you, Brother Zen, are going to let us know the details that you think that are really important for us to know, that we can see on our version of the Bible, you see, and that the Targums help the people to see. Like the question of Cain and Abel, but I think, I know there are a lot of details there that are important. I'm just going to update this, and then I will let you guide us on this through, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Então, meus irmãos, o que nós estamos aqui falando é a importância que estes documentos, Targums, têm para o nosso crescimento espiritual hoje em dia. Estes Targums, Targum significa literalmente interpretação. Eles têm uma origem oral. Quando os israelitas voltaram de Babilônia, o rei de Babilônia tinha posto no lugar dos israelitas outros povos lá para cultivar a terra. Na verdade, aquilo tornou-se uma região de múltiplas línguas. Daí surgiu as grandes dificuldades entre os samaritanos, os judeus e por aí fora. Quando eles voltaram de Babilônia, passados 70 anos, muitos poucos deles se lembravam da língua original hebraica. Mas as escrituras continuavam escritas no hebreu. Então, para passar a palavra de Deus às pessoas, foi necessário interpretar para a língua aramaico, que era uma mistura que eles tinham aprendido a falar aramaico na Babilônia. Com isto, as pessoas começaram a ter a interpretação pessoal dos mestres das sinagogas acerca daquilo que estava escrito. O que aconteceu? Passado tempos, essas traduções orais, essas interpretações orais, viraram manuscritos. porque as pessoas nunca mais deixaram parte daquela religião, nunca mais recuperou o hebreu, mantiveram o aramaico. No tempo de Jesus Cristo, falava-se o aramaico. Então, o que nós temos hoje, a possibilidade de ler estes Targums, é uma compreensão muito mais fiel do original hebraico do que propriamente as versões que nós temos das nossas Bíblias hoje, que são já traduções de traduções de traduções da Vulgata, da Septuaginta, com muitas correções, com muitas manipulações, por vezes, consoante o credo de cada religião ou cada congregação. Então, a grande vantagem, segundo o que o irmão me está dizendo, é que nós temos acesso a pormenores, sobretudo no Targum que ele tem publicado, que é os 5 primeiros livros da Bíblia, que chama-se o Targum da Palestina, porque está escrito em aramaico, foi traduzido para o inglês do próprio aramaico. Nós temos detalhes ali que nos elucidam perfeitamente, conseguimos ver quase de uma forma muito mais abrangente toda a história da criação, tudo aquilo que este sistema religioso corrompido sofreu nas mãos de homens que se venderam às forças das trevas para tentar ocultar uma triste realidade. A triste realidade que há duas linhagens sobre a face da Terra, que o ser humano tem sido manipulado de uma forma quase imperceptível para não entender a guerra que estava entre as almas das pessoas aqui. Porque, na verdade, vivemos naquilo que eu considero ser uma matrix dos nefilins, ou seja, dos descendentes da semente da serpente, aquilo que Deus amaldiçoou a serpente, que iria haver uma inimizade perpétua entre a semente da serpente e a semente da mulher. E nós já vamos entender a importância do trabalho deste irmão, porque através destas fontes, nos Targums, se crê claramente, se entende claramente que Caim matou Abel porque ele não tinha a mesma descendência dele. Ele não era filho de Adão. Se os irmãos duvidam disso, verifiquem na vossa Bíblia, em Gênesis 4, quantos filhos Adão teve, quantos filhos estão na genealogia de Adão. Estão lá dois ou se está lá um apenas à imagem dele? Então, se Caim não foi feito à imagem de Adão e não conta como descendência na genealogia de Adão, quem foi o pai de Caim? É isto que... São estes pormenores que os Targums e outras fontes nos vão ajudar a discernir certos mistérios que a Bíblia deixa mais ou menos entreaberto, dizendo que Caim era do maligno, que os anjos se misturaram com as mulheres. Enfim, isto é um tesouro valiosíssimo para nós que enfrentamos dia a dia as adversidades deste mundo e os poderes das trevas, para entendermos as origens desta guerra. O irmão Zé vai nos dirigir nestes mistérios e os irmãos, depois que entenderem, ele irá deixar aqui links para os irmãos que quiserem investigar isto, podem investigar e ir tentar traduzir do inglês para português para entender o que é que estes documentos, que são mais antigos do que as versões da Bíblia que nós temos, têm para acrescentar à nossa fé. Amen, brother, then it's your show now.
Okay, well, speaking about the Targums and just some of the different things, when you read it, there's so many differences, and the differences that you'll find when you read the Targums are just certain words in certain passages, mm-hmm. and there's thousands of them. Like even in just reading about the creation in Genesis chapter 1, this is just one mm-hmm. example. It says in this one particular part where it's talking about, in the King James Version of the Bible, it's talking about the creation of the animals, you know, the whales mm-hmm. and the fowls and the things like that. There's a mention here of the creation of Leviathan. And the Lord created the great Tanim, which is translated whales, and it also speaks about, you know, these great reptiles. And it also says the Leviathan and his yoke fellow, which are prepared for the day of consolation, and every living animal which creepeth. So just everywhere you're going to find in all the various different passages, you'll find one word is different. And when they translated from the Aramaic into English, that, you know, that word may have took on different translation. And so we're presented by reading the Targums, you're presented sometimes with insight on what those particular passages are speaking about. Because a lot of times certain words were mistranslated or not translated in a correct kind of way. And so when we have, you know, the Hebrew translated into the Aramaic, and then the Aramaic translated into English, for us having to, you know, to have the King James Version of the Bible in English, and then reading these Targums, which are available to us in English as well, sometimes you get a different concept, or you get a different, a new introspection on what was being said. Another example of that is in Genesis chapter 3, where it speaks about the serpent. It actually names the serpent Samael, and I'll read that account as well. It says this in the Targums. And just so people get an idea and a feel for the different translation as far as what's available in the Targum. And the serpent was wiser unto evil than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. You know, the instead of evil, it's translated subtlety, in I believe, in the King James Version. And he said to the woman, "Is it true that the Lord God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the rest of the fruits of the trees of the garden, we have power to eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the Lord has said, you shall not eat of it, nor approach it, lest you die." In that hour the serpent spake accusation against his creator and said to the woman, "Dying you will not die, for every artificer hateth the son of his art. For it is manifest before the Lord that in the day that you eat of it, you will be as the great angels who are wise to know between good and evil." And the woman beheld Samael, and Samael is the name of the serpent in this text, in the reference for the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. It says,
Go on.
All right. And the woman beheld Samael, the angel of death, and was afraid. Yet she knew that the tree was good to eat, and that it was medicine for the enlightenment of the eyes, and a desirable tree by means of which to understand. And she took of its fruit and did eat, and she gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both were enlightened, and they knew that they were naked, divested of the purple robe in which they had been created. And they saw the sight of their shame, and sewed to themselves the leaves of figs, and made to them cinctures. So that's just another example of the difference. And there's so many. I mean, it's almost like every other passage, you're going to have extra information that is excluded out of the King James Version of the Bible, that gives you greater detail on what's either been mistranslated or been taken out. And so reading the English version of the Aramaic translation gives us insight into the original Hebrew Torah, because these Aramaic translations are going back to the first century CE, after the exile of the people from Babylon, after the burning down of the of Solomon's temple. You know, this is right after the time, because Christ spoke about it in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. He gave a prophecy that every stone would be, you know, there would be no stone standing on top of another, that the temple would be destroyed, and that, in fact, did happen after his death. It was 70 A.D., you know, just roughly 37 years after his death that that this event took place. And so the people were taken off into Babylon for a period of time, for the 70 years, and then they were allowed to come back into the land. And when they came back into the land, they read these Targum translations in a synagogue side by side with the Hebrew Torah. They would, the priestly class, the rabbis, they would read the Hebrew Torah, and then they would read the Aramaic Targums right afterwards. And so that's what most of the common people that had forgotten how to understand the Hebrew, that's what they were listening for and listening to. So these are definitely commissioned, and, you know, just as they were exact in when they first created the different Bibles and when they first were writing down the book, the Torah, the original Torah, the books of Moses, because in Hebrew, every letter also has numeric value. And so once they wrote down a line or a whole chapter, they would add up all the letters and they would get a certain number. And that number was code that everything was, in fact, translated correctly. And so they would do the same thing in the Aramaic. And so the translations were, you know, they were very precise. And so that's why it's interesting to me to go back and to read these things, because we get extra detail on things which we're confused about or don't have clarity on.
Then I want to emphasize this detail that you have spoken now, because you can see only in those two verses that you have spoken, we can see so much things here around us. Like, for instance, calling the serpent Samael, and for those who know the extra canonical texts like the Book of Jasher and the Book of Hanok, Samael, if I'm not mistaken, it was an angel, a fallen angel.
Yeah,
right?
Angel of death, right.
So, we can see with this translation from the Targum that the fallen angels, they were here. It was not only an animal, it was an angel, a fallen angel, they were here. And this is precisely what the system tried to hide us.
Right.
Because the original scene, the first scene, it's not from the man, it's from the fallen angel. Calling the serpent evil, it means that the evil was already on the earth. It not enter with the man. The death, the spiritual death of the man came with the fall of the man. But
right.
The evil, it was already here. And this is precisely what the system, the Nephilim system, the matrix wants us to believe, that we are the only guilty of this story. And
right.
We are not the only guilty. The fallen angels are the true guilty of this world being what it is. So this is so important for people to know, understand the spiritual warfare that we are in. Only in these two verses you open the minds and to see that 90% that we are teaching on the church, on the traditional church and his daughters, on the system, it's a lie, it's an half-truth. So this means that the fallen angel, the serpent, it was evil, and it was not a snake. It was not a snake. It was a fallen angel. It was Samael, that is Satan. So
yeah. That's
why it's there in Revelation that the Satan, the dragon, is the old serpent. So, but this is the confirmation. Sorry, I didn't hear.
The serpent, the dragon that deceiveth the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I'm precisely saying. When we read this in Revelation, we don't see all the connections, because the teachings that we receive, it doesn't make sense. It was a snake, and then it was the dragon, then it was Satan. But when we get these targums, we get the confirmation. The Bible, it's not confused. The man made the Bible hard to understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, even what you talk about the whales being translated by whales, it gives an insight about the dinosaurs. That's my feeling.
Right.
The Leviathan. In my feeling, it's the dinosaurs. Am I mistaken?
Right, no. It says great reptiles. And in my mind, yes, the dragons, the dinosaurs, the things of the past that we don't see, that we're not finding these things. It translated in the King James Version as the great whales. And so there's so many things that are different that when people take the time to read through them, it just adds so much information and so much detail. And, you can't even, it's almost every other passage that you're getting a flood of new information which we do not have access to right now. And so, and just as you were talking about as far as the fallen angels, we have to realize also that the bloodline of Cain, the lineage of Cain, they have been ever since the murder of Abel and the exile of Cain, they have been attempting to hide who they are and hide their connection to the fallen angel, and that they are excluded, that they're this different bloodline, and that they are excluded from the line of Adam. And another story too, when you read about Cain, and there's some other things I'll touch upon as well, but in the story about Cain and Abel and the sacrifice that Cain made that was not acceptable to the Father, we're given insight also in that Abel and Cain were fighting on the details of the afterlife. They were, Cain was in denial of there actually being a judgment. And he kept saying that, that there's no consequence, that there's going to be nothing as far as we can do whatever we want to in the world. There's no judgment, there's no afterlife, there's no consequences for our behaviors while we're here in the flesh. And so it doesn't matter what we do, we should take on as much pleasure as we can, enjoy the bounty of this world, and just really indulge, just like the Luciferian doctrine proclaims.
Yes.
And people are told, especially those that deny that there's an eternal inheritance and that there's a salvation and also that there's a judgment, so many people deny that, and they are party while you can, enjoy while you can, because, this is it, this is our one lifetime, and then we're going to be asleep, and there's, forevermore, and there's nothing further to it. And so when you look at it like that, people don't have any consequence to their actions, and they don't look at as far as preparing for an eternity and a life beyond what we are dealing with now. And so that's really relevant and important.
That's when all the Luciferian mind starts working. But with Cain, I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
I want to be, so I pass over everybody. I do all the ends. I reach my hand without looking for consequence because I will not have to pay. This is the beginning of the Luciferian doctrine.
Right, exactly. And that's what they want people to believe, so that people will fail and not care about and not even be concerned with anything that is after, a judgment, a salvation. They don't even aren't even concerned about God nor of a Savior. They don't think that they need to be saved, you know. And so many people are in that position now because they've been deceived. They've been led astray. And the fallen angels have been very precise in their abilities to keep people ignorant and confused about these particular doctrines. And they've set up and established all these pagan religions and the idolatry that we are finding worldwide in order to belittle the knowledge of the Creator, knowledge of of that there will be a Savior and that He will be born of a virgin. They're keeping all that from people so that nobody understands and nobody looks to those things which were fulfilled in the life of Christ, with Him coming into the flesh and extending to all of us salvation. And the whole example of His life and His dying on the cross were specific to these particular things. And so it's absolutely important that we know about them, but, you know, these kind of things are being hidden away. They're being kept away from us, and that's on purpose. And so that's why it's important for people to know about the Cain line and that he was a whole separate bloodline and lineage. And, you know, the Targums also confirm that knowledge. And for those people that, you know, doubt the whole premise of my fourth book, Lucifer, Father of Cain, I have passages in that book which are associated to the various Targums, which also show that this knowledge is, in fact, contained within those translations. And that was another reason why I went to them as a resource.
Brother, then that, I think that's important for us to make this statement at this moment. At this insight that we are talking here, with this light that you are bringing here, we can see the deception that we are being conducted like, for instance, the Pope, the last declarations of the Pope saying there are no hell, there are no Adam and Eve. So you can see how it was all prepared by centuries to reach these days, the last days, for all the humanity being led to believe on these declarations. So it's the Luciferian doctrine morphing in a holy man, but it's the dragon, it's the father of Cain, it's the Luciferian doctrine expanding and seducting the souls. That's why they try century by century manipulate the world, saying with doctrines that they invented. As we can see here, that the seed of the serpent, it's day by day by day, with more space to expand his movement, his ideology, and only if we are led by the Holy Spirit, like you were, and you didn't give up to search by yourself, and not believing in the man, but believing in the relationship that you have with God, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we can be really saved, preserved on this lost generation. This is incredible.
Yes, it's absolutely. And what you say is so true, because these are the secrets that have been hidden since the foundation of the world, as stated by Christ in Matthew chapter 13. Because he warns us, he tells us about the enemy that snuck into the garden, and that this enemy is associated to the tares and to the devil and to the serpent that deceiveth the whole world. And unless we understand what exactly is being referenced and what exactly is being spoken about, we would be further deceived. And so, and all these things are important for understanding what is really going on with the world, what is really behind the things that we can't understand right now. And so all of that is, again, very important for us to make sense of, because if you don't know about the war, if you don't know about the enmity between the seed lines, you don't know who really is against you and is putting you and your family and your life at risk, because the New World Order, they have determined to poison the air, poison the water, to poison our food supply, and to do all these things in order to wage war against the sons of Adam. And so unless people understand those kind of things, they don't know that their lives are every day at risk, because the New World Order has asserted power and authority over every aspect of our lives. Everything that corporate food, the fast food, all these different things, every aspect of life has been manipulated and controlled by the New World Order in those kind of ways. And so that's why, it's important for us to come to terms with the reality of these things.
Amen. Brothers, and I'm going to update in one or two minutes. I would like you to tell us what this Targum, the Targum that you have published, what are the details about the born of Cain that are on this Targum? Because I think it's important for people to understand the real story that was behind Cain and Abel being born. Because we have on Genesis literally that the only one son that it was made at the image of Adam, it was Seth, because Abel did not produce descendants, but Cain produced. So it should be there if he was son of Adam. But even this Bible that we have doesn't count Cain like son of Adam. And it's important for us to understand what really happened, what this Bible that they were giving it to us doesn't count, the details, and even the manipulation that is written on Genesis about this story, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so just give me 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Mas amados, nós temos estado a falar coisas importantíssimas. Eu pus no chat duas passagens que falam de como os detalhes que este Targum acrescenta na história da criação. Por exemplo, quando fala da serpente, e que a nossa Bíblia diz que ela era a mais astuta das alimárias, das feras, a serpente é chamada neste Targum pelo seu nome, Samael, que é um dos sinónimos de Satanás. E em vez de dizer que é astuta, está lá escrito claramente, foi traduzido do hebraico diretamente para o aramaico, era mau. Não era astuto, era mau. Isto, só nestes dois detalhes, dá-nos uma visão completamente diferente da história que nos contaram nas catequeses, não é? nas escolas dominicais. Se Samael, sendo um anjo caído, sendo Satanás, já estava presente na Terra, significa que o mal já cá estava. Não foi, o mal não entrou neste mundo através da queda do homem. Entrou no homem, mas o mal já cá estava. Os anjos caídos já cá estavam. Os anjos foram criados antes do homem e houve uma revolta nos céus. Fez com que um terço desses anjos seguisse Satanás na sua revolta e vieram habitar aqui neste plano. Fazer guerra à criação de Deus. Aquilo que nos chamam de pecado original não começa com a queda do homem. O homem fez mal a si mesmo. Mas o primeiro pecado foi dos anjos. É por isso que isso, vejam a intensidade que isto traz a Gênesis 6, quando fala da mistura dos anjos com as mulheres. Confirma a presença desses anjos continuamente já neste plano de existência, neste planeta. Já tinham sido expulsos do paraíso, do lugar onde Deus habita. Esses seres já cá estavam e fizeram guerra. O primeiro pecado não é do homem, é de Satanás e seus anjos. Só neste pequeno pormenor vejam a diferença que fazem tudo aquilo que nos é ensinado. Nós seguimos a voz errada, mas o mal já cá estava, porque a serpente era Samael. Samael é um dos nomes dos anjos caídos, que está lá no livro de Enoque. É um dos sinónimos do Satanás. Como está lá escrito no Apocalipse, que o dragão era a velha serpente do Éden. É uma confirmação, mas traz uma história diferente para aquilo que nos ensinam. Ao chamar Samael, a serpente de má, significa que o mal já cá estava. O homem era inocente, mas o mal já estava, este mundo já estava pervertido por estes seres. Quando fala da criação de baleias, de um original, não está lá baleia nenhuma, não. Está lá Leviatã, o mesmo bicho que é descrito no livro de Jó, que no meu entendimento nos atira claramente para os dinossauros. Para os dinossauros que foram uma manipulação genética destes seres. Porque os dinossauros originais seriam os herbívoros, aqueles mastodontes enormes, os biemutes, como está lá descrito pormenorizadamente no livro de Jó. Mas Leviatã foi uma experiência de uma corrupção da carne dos animais, porque os anjos que pecaram contra as mulheres pecaram também contra os animais, fizeram experiências genéticas, misturaram espécies, não os deixaram reproduzir segundo a sua espécie. E isso está tudo a voltar a acontecer. Está tudo sendo produzido em laboratórios, ninguém sabe, mas as elites sabem. Veja como estes dois detalhes, duas simples palavras, fazem tanta diferença numa tradução. Mas com este documento que a gente consegue alcançar e transpor para os dias que estamos vivendo. Isto são dois pormenorzinhos. Agora eu convidei o irmão Zena a falar o que é testar neste momento acerca da concepção de Caim. Porque essa é outra manipulação. Se nós forem ler esta Bíblia que nós temos, dá a entender que Adão conheceu Eva e depois gerou, não é? Mas a história não é bem essa, não. A história não é essa. Porque houve manipulação nessa escritura. Nós vamos ouvir da boca do irmão Zeno, para quem depois tiver interesse em conhecer o Targum, pode comprá-lo, pode buscar na net, e vai ver que houve uma mudança na transcrição do versículo. Houve alguma coisa que fez com que Caim não fosse considerado filho de Adão. E isso está escrito na Bíblia. Só é considerado filho de Adão em Gênesis 4. Na descendência de Adão só ficou registrado certo o terceiro filho. Abel não fez criação, morreu. Mas Caim teve descendência, deveria lá estar, se ele realmente fosse filho de Adão. Mas lá na frente, a Bíblia diz que ele era do maligno. Ele era do maligno. Alguma coisa ficou por contar nesta história. É isso que nós vamos ouvir O irmão Zé conhece a história que está no Targum. Okay, brother, please go on. People are willing to know what happened, what really happened on the Garden of Eden.
Okay, well, as I was speaking about earlier, as far as the Targums, when you read them, you learn more detail. And so one of the things that people always ask me about is the Genesis 4:1, the translation for Genesis 4:1, and we won't have enough time to cover this in great detail, but just to let people kind of give them a taste for it, and then what we can do is set up next week a show where we can talk about this in great detail and bring this out.
Okay.
I just did a show.
Just give us some insights of what the Targum says.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, but I just want to make mention that when I did a show this past Wednesday, that it took us 2 hours to go through what I'm about to,
I heard a piece of the show.
Right. All right. And so
I myself heard.
What it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, what's important there is that semicolon, because it separates those two thoughts, the first part of the sentence from the second part. And even though when people read this version of Genesis 4:1, they believe that what is being alluded to in that particular scripture is that, in fact, that Adam did sire Cain. Because the first part, and Adam knew his wife Eve, the semicolon, which says, and then she conceived Cain, those are two different, completely different thoughts. And when you read the Targums, you look into the Targums, you get more detail on this. And so instead of explaining it, I'll just read these three passages really quick.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can give an update to your listeners as to the differences.
And
but,
I'm doing it in the chat room.
Okay. All right. Well, what it says, one of the Targums, the Palestinian Targum, says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, who had desired the angel. That part is, you know, who had desired the angel, that's one of the missing pieces. Because that lets you know that what is about to be spoken, and she conceived and bare Cain, that was result of her having desired the angel. And so the next passage is says this, and Adam knew Hava, his wife, who had desired the angel, same thing, and she conceived and bare, and she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. And she added to bear from her husband, Adam, his twin, even Abel. So in that, it's also telling you that she had desired the angel, and that the next son is the son that was born from Adam. And she added to bear from her husband, Adam, his twin. So the first part of the sentence, and Adam knew his wife Eve, comma, who had desired the angel, semicolon, the result of Adam knowing his wife Eve is that a twin would be born from him, and that twin was Abel. So, all right, let me pull this up from here. The next
let me just reflect it. So, what the true story is that Adam just knew Eve after she had some kind of relation with the serpent.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. All right. And so when you see, and you don't, people don't understand that when they read the King James Version, because it seems like the sentence, even though it's separated by the semicolon, everybody reads it together as one sentence, and they think, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, semicolon, And then that was what resulted in Cain being birthed, but that's not so. And there's another Targum, the Targum of Jonathan, which brings this out in great, great detail. So I'm going to read that.
Okay.
It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, who was pregnant by the angel Samael, and she conceived and bare Cain. And he was like the heavenly beings and not like the earthly beings. And she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. And so in this one, you get greater detail. It says that Eve was pregnant by the angel Samael when Adam knew his wife Eve. And that the result is that Abel would be born from Adam knowing his wife Eve, but that she was pregnant by the angel Samael. In the other Targums, it says, who had desired the angel. In this Targum, it gives you the name of that angel, and that angel is the angel Samael, who's also referenced in the Targums as being the serpent in the garden. And so this gives you even greater detail. And then it also lets you know that Cain was different. He was unlike, the other earthly beings. He was a hybrid. He was part angel and part part human. And so that's why
he's not counted like the image of Adam. Simple. So it's clear now.
Right. Exactly. And so that's why I think it's important to, you know, to revisit the Targums, to reread them, and to look into them in that way in order to get greater clarity and greater detail.
Yeah, very important. So what we are seeing tonight is the virus that Satan injected on the Adam's lineage. That's the virus that we all get more or less percentage in our born human flesh born, because this is the beginning of the infestation of the lineage of Adam, that special creature that was born to have a special relation with God. Not the first Adams, not the whole pre-Adamic creation. But this was the war that started here, and that God said, from now on, there will be a war, a permanent war. And we all need first to be cured ourselves with Jesus Christ, and then we still need to fight all our lives. We cannot live in peace here when it's a war that is declared since the beginning. True?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm going to update this because this is so important for people that are born in Catholic churches and things. This is a new theology for them, you see. So the people say that I'm crazy, but I want to give them the most information that we can give, because I know that there are some of them, they will investigate, okay? Just give me 1 or 2 minutes, and then you will guide us, because we still have some time. We have 33 minutes. So everything you think that is important, you will guide us on this Targum, and you bring the other Targums to confirm, okay?
What did you say? Because I thought the show was over in 4 minutes.
Well, you can leave when you want, because if you have something to do, but we had less more songs today.
Yeah, we can pick it up another.
Okay, just let me know when you need to go, okay?
All right.
We still have 30 minutes. But you are free to go, because I don't want to as I know that it's late there now.
Yeah, it's 12:30, and I still got a few things I've got to get the girl that works for me to do before I sleep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, brother, just let me know when you if you want to go now, we can start arrange next Thursday again.
Yeah, we can do it next week again. I'll need to go in about 3 minutes.
Okay, please don't just give us one last word, and then I'll do the update.
Sure. All right. Well, it's just important that, you know, people look into and read, in my opinion, these Targum translations for themselves, because it adds so much to what is in the Word and that is being left out and that we are not privy to. And so with that, people would read them and look into them and study them, it would give them greater insight on their foundational belief systems that are based on the King James Version of the Bible. And so these kind of things will help people to bring greater depth to their faith, because there's so much detail that is left out. And, you know, as we said about the translation after translation after translation, not saying that that information is not inspired in any way, but it builds on what we already know, and it adds greater detail. Oh. It's like finding, you know, it's like the commentary, you know, like the Talmud and the Zohar, they give commentary on the Torah. It's sort of like that, just in a different way.
And I can only imagine what are the details that are on the Targum about the giants from the Canaan.
Right. Absolutely.
I can only imagine. Okay,
yeah,
brothers, and I don't want you to stop you from doing what you need to do today. If you want, we can arrange now to I can schedule next show for Thursday, and we will do it in more details, and we go where the details you want us to go, okay?
Okay, brother, that sounds good. We'll do that.
Okay. I thank you once again for coming, brother Zen. I know that you have, it's late for you. And we can compromise with our listeners that you will be back in next week in the same day. Maybe we start a little soon, because it's important for people to know all the details about this story. Thank you once again, brother Zen.
All right, thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Goodbye.
For you guys that you're still hearing, I just want you to know that I want to talk about something more. I'm getting some echo here. It's important because I don't know if you all can have already read the Jasher, the Book of Jasher, because this is the fount that Brother Zen have investigated in the Book of Enoch. This is the books that the fallen angels, they stole from the Bible. The primitive church, they knew it, they use it, they believe it. And there are references on the Bible about these books. These are the books that the fallen angels and their seed, they didn't want to know the whole story, because they want to enslave us. This is a war, my brothers and my sisters. The first war is to enslave your mind in an ignorance of the true story of men. If you read the Book of Jasher, there are parts there that you will open your mouth in amazing. You'll be amazed with the details that you read there. I'm going to talk in these last 30 minutes about something maybe that you never read, but if you want to investigate, you can check it. The Book of Jasher It's a long version of Genesis. It has details that after we read the book of Jasher, that is referenced in two verses in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, in the book 2 Samuel, it talks about the book of Jasher. It's called to the book of the just. And did you know that the temptation of Abraham about Isaac, it happened the same reality in the spiritual world that it happened in the book of Job? Satan asked God, since you have given Isaac to Abraham, nevermore lift up an altar to you. And God left Satan tempt Abraham, because Satan said, ask him Isaac, he will not give you Isaac. And God accepted the challenge. But did you know that even when Abraham accepted to give Isaac in a sacrifice, on the way he went to sacrifice his son, Satan appeared in this way to try to stop Abraham and Isaac to obey God? You didn't know because they didn't want you to know the power of Satan. They didn't want you to know that he has powers, incredible powers that we are seeing in our skies now. It is written in the book of Jasher that Satan appeared in three forms on this way. He appeared to Abraham like an old man, trying to stop him. Don't do this to your son. But Abraham knew the reality of the spirit world. He appeared to Isaac as a young man, saying, your father is crazy, get out of there. And when he failed in these two forms, he appeared as a river. He morphed on a river, a small river. But Abraham knew the place. He knew that there was no river on that region. And he said to Isaac, that is Satan that is trying to stop us. And he reprehended Satan and he flew from Abraham. What we are seeing in the skies, the UFO, the orbs and the morphing things, it's nothing more, nothing less than the same angels, the same powers, the principalities, the morphing, the power to change. This is what the fallen angels with the system, the religious system, they try to stop us to know. Because Satan can take a form of an angel of light and much other forms. Even not human forms, like a river, a small river. It is written in the book of Jasher, this. But this is what the fallen angels, they didn't want us to let us know. The spiritual warfare, it's much more around us than you think. Satan can take a form of a beautiful woman or a great preacher. That's why we are hearing the Pope saying that there are no hell. That's why we are hearing some pastors, some famous pastors, American pastors, saying you can take the mark of the beast and even so you can still be saved. Just check the Bible. Is that what the Bible says? So, my brother, my sister, do you understand the danger of the ignorance? Do you understand the danger of not knowing what the fallen angels did and what they are doing now? This is only getting to our knowledge because there are courageous people like Brother Zen. They are not conforming with the religious system. We need to be like Brother Zen in our congregation, in our family, in our work. We need to be all like brothers and other youths that don't stop even when they have some adversity like he had. We must love the truth. And even if we have to fight against those that should be our friends, what is the first commandment? First, we must love God. And then the second one, we must love each other like ourselves. But if we change the priority, we'll be cursed. We are being idolatry. And you better write this. If it was easy to see the deceivements of the devil, nobody would fall. But he will never come with his real face, real voice. He always around us. He surrounds us with beautiful faces, with beautiful voices, with beautiful words. Always with half-truths. You know why? Because he knows that when we know everything, when we take possession of all Jesus did on the cross for us, when we can believe the power that Jesus gave us, he cannot last. He doesn't have any chance against the redeemed. Do you see? Don't stop reading. Check for yourself. Check everything, because if it worked, it was okay for the first Christians. It's okay for us. We need to read the book of Jasher. We need to read the Targums. We need to read the book of Enoch, like Brother Zen did. This is health for our spiritual life. This is power from God, from the Father. If you want to be an overcomer against the great deception that is coming, don't stop. Don't believe in me. Don't believe only in brothers. And go look for yourself. Ask God to talk to you when you read these things. And even if there is some lie, some manipulation on these books, God will guide you. And when you end all the readings, you have a much more complete story. You will see that the Bible, we have only reached a small percentage of the truth. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth and you will set free. Because he knew that we will be stolen from the truth. The spiritual warfare, the spiritual world, is much more real than the physical world. I am praying this night for you that are with us, hearing this, that in this week you have experience with the spiritual world. The discernment of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will see Satan. You will see how close he is. You will see, my brother and my sister, that you need to break the chains. Even the familiar chains, even the congregational chains that are trying to stop you to reach all the truth. It is important, because time are coming when you will not be able to check for yourself. You will be persecuted. you'll be considered disobedient. Maybe some of us will be deaf for confessing Jesus Christ. But remember, also God has an army to prepare. And if you are hearing this night, this program, that's because God chose you. You accepted, but first God called you. And you heard the voice. This ministry, it's not raised by man. I am just a sinner that God had mercy. But when I made a deal with God, I will not turn back from this deal. I just want to be sure that when my time comes, I will not need money. I will not need fame. I will not need possessions. But those things that I really need on this day, on that day, I will have it by my side. And that is the hand of Jesus Christ. That's what I am doing, me and my family. I'm not serving men. I was in the system. And one day I said, enough is enough. I love more Jesus Christ than all the offerings, all the half-truths that give me money, that give me fame. Because my Lord is my Lord. The rest comes and goes. When I need, Jesus is there. So this is what I'm asking you to do. Check, keep, and love the truth. And the truth will be with you in these moments, in those moments that you will need the truth. And you know who is the truth. Loving the truth is loving Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus, you will love the truth. You will not negotiate the truth. Next time you have a conversation with people that don't know these things, don't be shy. Talk. Give the information. Give the knowledge that you are getting now. I didn't understand your question on the chat room, GK. You mean to write, what is this? If you are sisters, I am not surprised, because the great warriors from these times, many of them will be children and women. I don't know what kind of tribulations you had in your life. I had it all. I know what is losing a family, familiar, my father. I know what is living with somebody sick. I have my mother on the bed for 17 years, still living. I had a divorce, I married again, but I can assure you something. The deal that I've made with God, it's on. I never speak of things that I never experienced before. First, only when I get my victory, I speak about this, the matter. And I can tell you, with Jesus in your life, you are an overcomer. You stand. It hurts, but doesn't kill you. and everything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I want to thank you for being here. I'm going to update in these last minutes in Portuguese. I just want you to know that you are welcome here. When you need to hear the truth, you'll be here. We are not going to give time for news without meaningless. I'm not going to talk on these programs about rumors. I'm not going to privilege the bad works of the Illuminati, even if we must talk about this. But this is a program to destroy the strongholds. To destroy the strongholds of the devil. That's why the Son of God came to this man. And if you need prayer, if you need company, if you need a family in Christ, this is your family. Here you will not be stopped. Here you count. You are a warrior. So anytime you want to come to hear our shows, you are building the ark. You are participating not in peace, but in a fight. This is your eternal purpose. That's why you were on the flesh. That's why God bring you to fight the good fight. Because God knows your heart. I can talk by myself. My life doesn't have a meaning. And I have a good life. Now I have a good life. I am married with the most incredible woman. I have my own house. And I don't manipulate the truth to get this. I don't use tithings. I don't believe anyone who serves really Christ is bigger than Christ. And if Christ doesn't charge any tithings, we cannot do it. But if the people want to do it, okay. If the people want to give us money, okay. I will not regret for accepting, but I will not charge nothing for the king. And this is what I defend here. Here you participate with what you want. If you want to come all day, you can come. If you want to come one day in a week, you can come, but here you will not lose your time. There will be no one, not even one program, that when you go to sleep, you say, I started empty and I leave the program empty. No. I can promise you one thing. This ministry came to destroy the curses, the deceptions, and to set you free from everything that enslaves your spirit. And that's why tomorrow you'll have here another great guest, like Doc Marquis, who served the devil, but now is one of us. And he will bring the truth about what's happening in America, about the Boston Marathon, about the reality of this world, but not to give praise to the devil, just to prepare you. People are leaving the darkness to come to our side. That's why God is bringing, and Doc Marquis will be again on this show to bring us his knowledge about these times when he was on the other side of the war. It's tomorrow. Sunday we'll have here, I don't know if you know, the Destiny Lab, a group of rappers, but they are not common rappers. All the hip-hop they do, they talk about some things that the preachers, the most of the preachers of the church, they don't want to talk. But they talk about the Nephilim. They talk about Adam and Eve. So you see, you will not lose your time here. You will not be empty. Join the war. I will not promise that it will be easy. But one thing I can tell you, Jesus will be with you. Thank you, my brothers. I will update all of this in Portuguese now. I hope to see you back soon. Love you all. Stay blessed. And we'll end the show with a song for you, Warriors of God. Thank you very much. Meus irmãos, nós estamos terminando o programa. Estive-me despedindo dos irmãos em inglês. Agradeço a todos pela vossa presença. Na próxima quinta-feira teremos de novo o irmão Zeno Garcia conosco, que estará trazendo mais informação sobre esta questão das duas sementes. Estará trazendo mais fontes, nos irá ler sobre os targums de uma forma mais detalhada para que nós consigamos entender realmente aquilo que estamos envolvidos, quer de uma forma consciente ou inconscientemente, a guerra que está sendo travada contra as nossas almas. Um Papa dizendo que não há inferno nem céu, Jesus é uma invenção. Pastores evangélicos dando escândalos atrás de escândalos. Mas Deus já tinha falado, não é, pela boca do seu filho, que estes tempos seriam assim. E que se nós não tomássemos cuidado, nosso amor iria esfriar. Eu espero que você não se deixe esfriar. Porque a semente da serpente está aí, trabalhando século após século, para nos escravizar, para nos impedir de conhecer a verdade. Meus irmãos, é muito importante nestas horas juntarmos aqueles que estão no rumo certo, desenvencilharmos de tudo aquilo que nos atrapalha. Que Deus abençoe a todos. Que continuem amando a verdade, porque amando a verdade, você está amando o Deus vivo. Jesus é a verdade. Mas se amar pouca verdade, você estará amando pouco Jesus Cristo. Que a graça de Deus nos baste. É o meu desejo. Tenha uma boa noite. Em nome de Jesus. Amém. I will leave this road.
the humble go. It is the narrow, not the broad. It is the pathway down the hill to the graveyard of the living God.
I will leave this road for the